topic nicely, and it's the preaching of Narada Muni. First, we have Dhruva Maharaj, who had really strong material desires. He got, you know, everybody knows the story about him and his stepmother, and how he wanted a kingdom even greater than his father's. So he met Narada Muni, who gave him a path to follow in order to attain his desire. And then we have Prahlad Maharaj, who had a very materialistic father, who wanted his son to be also materially prosperous. But due to the hearing from Narada Muni, even within the womb of his mother, he became transformed. And then we have the example of Magrari, the hunter, who was finding pleasure in half-killing animals, and then meeting Narada Muni and being transformed. So with Dhruva Maharaj, the example of the person with material desires, we have, and these are just three different people, and Narada Muni is glorified for such potency of how he transformed these people. When Dhruva Maharaj finally saw Lord Vishnu, and he was asked, "What do you want?" He was transformed to the point where he said, "I was searching for glass, but now I've found the most valuable jewel. I don't even care for the kingdom anymore. I'm embarrassed that I came to you for this." The transformation had taken place in the wake of his meeting Narada Muni. Hundreds and thousands of people all around the world look up at these different ornaments in the temple, and you'll see the Hare Krishna mantra written in different languages. All around the world, each little person with material desires is being transformed in the wake of coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his instructions. How many people have parents that brought them up and educated them so that they would be materially prosperous and materially entangled? Is basically an analogy. They're the same thing in most senses. But Prahlad Maharaj, I was listening to a tape the other day, Prabhupada was talking about how he was standing by watching his father being killed and offering a garland to the killer. And Prabhupada was saying, how is this moral? That he's watching his father being killed. But no, he was transformed in the wake of meeting Srila Prabhupada, meeting Narada Muni. So similarly, how many children, how many young people, how many people of any walk of life have been educated by their parents to a very materialistic way of life, entangled in the material world? But in the wake of meeting Srila Prabhupada, coming in contact with these teachings, have been transformed so that those desires are no longer there. And then finally, Magrari, who was taught by his father how to half-kill animals and then get pleasure out of watching them suffer and finally eating them or selling them. And Narada Muni instructed him to the point where when Parvat Muni and Narada Muni came back to visit him sometime later, he was jumping here and there trying to avoid an ant. Think of the transformation of the person's heart. That's what Srila Prabhupada has done. All around the world, I read up recently about I saw a video of a kirtan of people in Mongolia. Have you ever heard of Outer Mongolia? It's like Timbuktu. Even in Timbuktu, they have kirtan. It's astounding. Iceland. His books are being translated into Icelandic. The Middle East. Who could even conceive? We have some students in our e-courses. A lot of Indians go to the Middle East to work for the oil companies. And they're not allowed to publicly show their faith at kirtans or rathyatras, and they have them in their little houses. And there's devotees now from the Mayapur Institute, Janmashtami was telling, who are doing huge programs of bhakti shastri and donations for the time. Even Ambarish was telling me on his way to Mayapur, he's going to stop off in the Middle East to collect some donations for the Mayapur temple. So it's astounding how the whole planet has been transformed in the wake of Srila Prabhupada's presence. How did he do it? Found a nice example, a very rare example of Srila Prabhupada not tooting his horn, but almost explaining how this was done, why Srila Prabhupada, of all, you look at the history of the Puranic age, all the Puranas, all the different Itihasas, all the Brahmas and the Samhitas, there's no example of anyone, even an avatar of God, who transformed the entire planet as Srila Prabhupada has done. What unique feature is that in him? So I'm going to read the verse, and then we'll hear a clip from Srila Prabhupada and the purport. It's another thing. As we drill, like if you have a gold mine, you find a vein, they call it, in the earth. And Srila Prabhupada's books and instructions and culture are so rich that it's inexhaustible. The deeper you go down into that vein, the more there is. Whereas materially, finally you finish up that vein and go to another cave. But it gets deeper and deeper. So it's not in his purport. It's in his lecture on this verse, which is a whole other part of that vein. But the verse is, this is Suta Goswami, who was present at the first speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam when Sukadev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikit. Because he was present and heard that information, now he's relating it to the sages at Namasharanya, who had gathered and knew he was there. Yat swano bhavamakila shruti saramekam adhyatma dipamatiti saratam tamundam samarinam punakarano yaha purana guyam tam vyasusunim upayami gurum muninam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Sukadev Goswami, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. That last part, after having personally assimilated it by experience, is called Swanubhavam, and Srila Prabhupada will explain it. I think.
So, Śrīla Goswāmī is offering respect to the spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswāmī. When we offer respect to the spiritual master or any master, we glorify his transcendental quality. That is glorification. Just like we offer respect to Krishna, glorifying. So, this is very important process. To glorify the spiritual master by his activities. What he is actually doing. That is glorification. So what Sukadeva Goswami did? Sarubhava. He first of all heard from his father back then, Bhagavad-Gita, and realized it. He's not a professor in Bhagavad reciter. Just like in India now, there are a class of men, especially in Vrindavan, the Gosai. They make a business. Therefore, there are many, many very artistic Bhagavad reciter, but they could not turn even one man to Krishna consciousness because they are not self-realized, sanubhava. And of course, we have tried our best. So in few years, there are so many Krishna consciousness persons. So this is the secret. Unless one is sanubhava, self-realized, life is bhava, he cannot please love. That is not your question. Gramophone will not help. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secretary, Sarup Damodar, recommended Bhagavata Parogya Bhagavata Sthana. That if you want to read some of the Bhagavatam, you must approach a person who is live, living Bhagavata. Bhagavata Parogya Bhagavata Sthana. Otherwise, there is no question of Bhagavata.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So we're going to ask Mother Kirti Dutt to speak. And I wanted to tell a story you may not be aware of. I used to live in San Diego, and near San Diego, about 100 miles is the city of Palm Springs, and I would visit devotees there, and they had run into the man who wrote the article in the East Village Other that said, "Save Earth Now." Perhaps you're familiar with that. It was the hippie newspaper, and on the cover, I think BTG just did an article, it says, "Save Earth Now," and it's a picture of Prabhupada standing by the tree in Thompson Square Park. So I got to meet him and talk to him about, and he said his office was right across from the park, and he would look out his window and see Prabhupada chanting. And the impression he got, he said, was that this man is saving the earth. And that's what he meant by the title. It wasn't to be clever. It was actually factual. That's what he told me. He said, just by seeing him, I felt this person is saving the earth. Hare Krishna.
I said all my prayers before I came up here, so you don't have to listen to everything again. I had a short poem that I'd like to read. Some of you may recognize it. It was read on this day about 16 years ago. A fallen soul cries out, crying, crying. When will I start crying? I feel as if I'm dying, for I am slowly plying in the material sea. Chanting, chanting. When will I start chanting and uncontrollably dancing like little seeds flying wistfully in the breeze? Surrender, surrender. When will I surrender? Please help this offender who may look fine on the exterior, but is horrible inside. Humble, humble, when will I be humble? I don't mean to grumble, but it is hard to be humble, and I don't make it all of the time. Patience, patience, when will I learn patience? Enough to give up all of this nonsense that so that I can be gracious and eventually move on. Duty, duty. When will I do my duty? And learn from those before me who have tread this path fully and know the way to go. Devotion, devotion. When will I have devotion? Is it some magical potion or some transcendental notion that I just can't understand? Pleasure, pleasure, what is real pleasure? It's some transcendental treasure which is beyond conceivable measure that I cannot comprehend. Mercy, mercy. When will I get mercy? It may not be very easy, and I may be too sleazy to even start to qualify. Honest, honest, when will I be honest? I mean, really, truly honest. I just, not just when it looks best, but really deep inside. Peaceful. Peaceful, when will I be peaceful? Enough to see what is needful and enough to be grateful for all that you have done. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, do you think it's odd that I keep acting like a dog as if in an impenetrable fog and I don't know night from day? Pure, pure, when will I be pure? And how can I be sure that all I endure will bring true happiness? Chaste, chaste, when will I be chaste and not worry about haste when it comes to this rat race of being bought and sold? When, please tell me when I'll be brought back again to that transcendental glen where you and the cowherd boys play. Then, and only then, will we truly meet again. And I can somehow serve you then as you go with him each day. Save me, Srila Prabhupada. Save me. For only you can save me. Only you who fulfilled the prophecy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Qualities. Qualities to he who has these qualities. I offer my humble obeisances to he who traveled overseas to give us all these qualities. Tis he who we adore. Your insignificant servant, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Devi Dasi, when she was 14 years old.
Thank you for that. It's amazing. Divyanka Prabhu, then followed by, is Ragatmika here? Yes, okay, followed by Ragatmika.
Haribo Prabhus. Wasn't that nice last night? Walking through that Vrindavan village, people were happy, people were blissful, people weren't fighting. It was really, and I always like that on our Janmashtami festivals, when you can walk through that and see the manifestation of all these devotees' devotion with their deities and all their wonderful paraphernalia. Srila Prabhupada, you say in Krishna book that the Lord is most glorious, but of all of his glories, the most important one is his extracting the living entities from the clutches of Maya by showing compassion. And you told us the way to show the compassion to all the living entities is to share this gift of spiritual life that you had given us, to go out and share that with others. And I remember the times back in the 70s when we would see each other and we would offer obeisances every day. And we would hug each other and look each other in the eye. And we would genuinely feel compassionate for each other, knowing that we just all came in from out there doing all the stuff we were doing, and Prabhupada was demanding. In 1973, when you joined the temple, you had to go to Mangalartik. You had to follow the program. You had to be engaged fully. And I remember how the devotees got along together, like Sesha was talking about, like brothers. And we, unfortunately, over the last 40 years, there's been so much dissension, and there's been so much separation, and there's... I find that we find devotees spend a lot of time fighting and arguing about things that really don't have anything to do with the business at hand, which is so dear to Srila Prabhupada, the mission to save the other jivas that haven't gotten this. And this life, we don't know when it'll end. People take it for granted. But the truth is, it could end at any moment. So the urgency is there. I always pray to Srila Prabhupada that I can remember. Devotees ask me all the time. They come and say, "Hey, Div, you still doing Sankirtan?" Like they can't even believe it. And then they ask me what I do and where I do it and how I do it. And I tell them I do it because I owe it to Srila Prabhupada. I know what it meant to me that day when I got in that van and I joined the Traveling Sankirtan Party. I had a lot of questions. I had been reading the Tao and I Ching and trying to figure stuff out. But I couldn't get any clear answers. But when I got in that Sankirtan van and Prabhanu and Mrigendra started preaching to me, every question I had, they had answers for. And they had the Gita, and they were answering it right out of the Gita and from Prabhupada. And the next thing they told me after that, I immediately thought, I'm home. I didn't think twice about it. I was on the way to the concert, but I saw the devotees, and they got me in their van, and they sold me some books, and I just felt like I'm home now. So I sold my ticket, and I did Sankirtan instead of going into the concert, and I distributed books. And I still do that. To this day, I still go out 4 or 5 days a week and I distribute your books, Srila Prabhupada. And I've had so many ups and downs and so many... It's been so hard to follow the programs that you've given us. You've wanted us to be civilized. And to be civilized in this Kali Yuga is very difficult because you have to swim against the current. And so when I go out on Sankirtan, I have to be inside. I have to be thinking what I'm doing. And how important this is that somebody gets a book from me or meets me or gets prasadam. I give them prasadam, I give them books, and I give them the mantra. I was walking through the mall just 3 days ago in Orlando, and in the mall there's these kiosks throughout the mall. And there's all these temporary employees that they get in when it's busy. So I'm walking through the mall working, and I'm always giving these employees prasadam, books, mantra cards. And then on the way back through the mall, I come walking back, and sometimes they say something. So this lady called me over to her kiosk and said, "Hey, you've given me this book on yoga, but I've tried Hatha yoga, I've tried Kriya yoga, and I don't understand it, and it doesn't give me any satisfaction. Can you teach me something?" So I gave her the mantra. And it's nice, I take out the mantra card, and I put it in their hand, and I say, "Repeat after me." And I look them right in the eye, and they're looking at the card going, and I go, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." I gave her the mantra. And so, and then I continued on, because you have to keep moving through these malls when you're working. If you want to do it at all, you can't stop. For some reason, there's people out there in the world that don't want books distributed, and they don't want this knowledge spread. So, and you'll find that every single moment that you go out and try to do this. And anyway, so I came back around, and she came, and she said, "Donna, what do? I tried this chanting." And I said, "Chant more." So in about a week later, I saw her. I see these people regularly because I walk through these malls 3-4 days a week, especially in the summer when it's busy. And she came to me again and wanted another book, and I gave her the cookbook, vegetarian cookbook, blah, blah. And she told me, "I've been chanting this mantra. What do I do?" And I said, "Just keep chanting the mantra and read." And that's what I tell everybody. Whoever meets me, they're going to get prasadam, they're going to get a book, they're going to get the mantra, and I'm going to try to get them to give a donation. I just want to share something here from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Just to try to, I mean, it's hard enough to try to be civilized. I've always had this problem ever since I joined. Just trying to follow Prabhupada, what Prabhupada expected us to do and what I promised in front of as Prabhupada said, in front of the fire, in front of the guru, in front of the deities, in front of the Vaishnavas. You all promised to do these things. So every time we blow it and fall down and we don't follow Prabhupada strictly, we're in this offensive aparad condition of guilt. at the same time, you can't give up because, like it was said, we have this irrepayable debt to Srila Prabhupada. So every day the disciple has the duty to try to repay the debt. And the only way we can do it, Vaisheshika Prabhu told me something last week. He said the only thing we have to offer is our attention. And you'll notice when you're practicing bhakti, when you're chanting japa, or when you're reading or doing, even in the middle of a kirtan, your attention has a tendency to go all over the place, any other place. But we really do have this thing, this attention of ours. And if we give it to Srila Prabhupada, we get the mercy. And by associating with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and the holy name, then we can actually do something. Prabhupada said, if you distribute these books, somebody gets a book, some substantial work is done. Because he will take his book home, he will read it, others will read it, and they will become spiritual. They will get a spiritual life from association through the book. Anyway, Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur. One cannot become or make another a Vaishnava. All living beings in the universe are intrinsically Vaishnavas. They simply have to realize it. It is the task of the Vishva Vaishnava Vraja Sabha to assist such realization in every way. The people of this world are simply measuring in terms of casteism, nationalism, and other temporary inauspicious social divisions. Past, present, and future, everyone's auspiciousness will come by preaching about Lord Chaitanya. Like itinerant merchants, you should take the wares of Chaitanya Vani throughout the globe. If necessary, go to all four corners of the earth. Violence to oneself and others under the name of Nirjan Bhajan must be stopped. Every single door must be knocked on at least once. So in this mood, if you think like this, and this is true, all corners of the world. I was walking down the street in Valjevo, which is a small town outside of Belgrade, which is not a very big town in southeastern Europe. And we were walking down the street, Rade and me, and I had a book bag with some books, and I handed the guy a book, Chant and Be Happy. The guy looks at the book and he goes, Hare Krishna! And he starts singing and dancing on the street of Valjevo. And we're just laughing, singing with him, having a little kirtan with him. And I said, where'd you get that? He said, hair. He saw hair. And as soon as he saw Hare Krishna, he started dancing and chanting. That's just walking down the street of some little town, I mean, in the middle of nowhere, literally. I mean, I've been around the world a few times, but Valjevo is like not much going on there. But you hand somebody a book, and he starts dancing and chanting. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada took it seriously when Bhakti Sananta said, go to all four corners of the earth. Every door must be knocked on at least once. How many doors are out there? Now, how many have we knocked on? I think there's more doors that need to be knocked on. Now, here's a nice thing, a nice meditation. Surrounded by enemies, we are serving the Lord and his devotees with great determination. Each of us more or less becomes forgetful of service to Krishna, being servants of our six enemies. My plea to all of you is to unite and serve the Lord in a spirit of friendship and cooperation. I'm going to repeat that. My plea to you, this is Bhaktisiddhanta pleading to the Vaishnavas. Please, serve the Lord in a spirit of friendship and cooperation, each having the same goal in your hearts. Ekaki yamara nahi pahi bal. Alone I obtain no strength. Remember this. Perform kirtan yajna in unison. The indispensable good quality expected of those in charge of kirtan yajna is to have friendship with all Vaishnavas and to execute devotional service by pleasing all Vaishnavas. So back to my original point, by offering obeisances to each other and having compassion for each other and actually listening to our God brothers and sisters when they take, because I have a lot of God brothers and God sisters, and they're almost always in anxiety about something, and it's so easy to just sort of play lip service to it, but I really believe that ISKCON as a family would do so much better served if we all worked together, lived together with the same goal in our hearts and in unison serve Srila Prabhupada. Whatever our capacity for service is. And if we do that, then we're in this, just like Yadavar said, he said, I have all respect for those who are still trying. Because if we give up this fight, if we give up trying to be civilized, because this has been my problem since the day I joined, is just trying to stay on the path, the regular principles and the japa, and trying to do some service in spiritual life. Prabhupada said you should serve Krishna the best you can and depend on him for the results. I have one more thing here. I wrote it down because I didn't want to... I know it, but I didn't want to blow it because Prabhupada said it's so funny. This is in Vrindavan in 76. It was an arrival address, and he was talking about preaching. Prabhupada said, "You cannot sit idly to show your gorgeousness." I like that. "You cannot sit idly to show your gorgeousness in a secluded place, imitating Haridas Thakur, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. You have to preach. That is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amar Agyai Guru Hoy. You cannot do that. It's not possible. But suppose you can, and you're chanting, and you're Nirjal Bhajan." He says, "That is for your safety only, without any compassion for the others." Krishna says, "One who faces dangerous situation for others' benefit, he is quickly recognized." And Prabhupada chants, "Na chatasman manusheshu." So Prabhupada says at the end of this, was a 16-minute address in Vrindavan. At the end, Prabhupada said, "Thank you very much. Let us all dedicate this life for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Never mind we die preaching. Still, it is glorious." Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So, as part of this program, we want to read the book scores for the Rajpur Temple for what? For the year? The month?
For the marathon.
For the marathon. So, now's Sri Vrindavan, are you here? You have the scores? When can the ladies move in? And while she's coming, I want to tell a story that, in the wake of what he said, a couple years ago I went to Mexico City and one devotee teaches yoga. We went to the studio and my wife did a film, Women of Bhakti. So we showed the film and it talks about chanting in the film. So after the film, we gave everyone beads. There were 40 people there. We gave everyone beads and I teach them how to chant. I have a special way of doing it. Then after we chant, we say, "Would you like, if you'd like to keep the beads and continue chanting, then when you leave, you can just pay $8, or equivalent in pesos." There's a switch there. And so after we left, I asked one of the devotees, "How many people bought beads?" And she said, 36. I said, 36? She said, "Yeah, the other four already had beads." So this is just a little update of what's going on out there. And then 2 years ago, I was at the Rao Theatre in South Africa, and they have these booths that fit about 150 people. So, you know, there are a lot of congregational devotees are there, but half the booth is filled with new people. And I did the same thing. I do japa seminars in these booths. We pass out the beads. I said, "How many people, you know, after we pass out the beads," I said, "How many people took beads?" She said, "There were probably 120 people in the booth, 40 devotees." Said 80 people took beads. So it's amazing. There is interest, definitely.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Shri Arumapad Swami Iti Namini. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to your divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, 3 years ago, we had a book table in downtown Alachua on July 4th, where thousands were celebrating Independence Day for this country. That day, this idea of Sahasra Pustakanjali was formed, that we wanted to have an offering of 1,000 books by your Vyasa Puja Day. So this is our third year, Prabhupada, and this year our goal was an offering of 3,000 books for your pleasure on your Divine Appearance Day. So all month we have had this marathon for devotees to sponsor books or take books with themselves for distribution. I'm very excited to report, Srila Prabhupada, that this year our total offering is 4,594 books. And which included 2 Bhagavatam sets and 6 Chaitanya Charitamrita sets. And we also had 450 pamphlets. Over 60 devotees participated in this year's marathon, and I wanted to tell their names to you, Srila Prabhupada. Mother Madhurya Leela and Toshan Krishna, Sarat Bihari and Advaita Acharya Prabhu, Mother Sukhda and Pushkar Prabhu, Vishnu Priya and Godruma Das Prabhu, Vanavihari Prabhu, Radhikesh and Premanchali, Varuna Das, Mother Mahindrani, Daniel Mishra, Sudevi Dasi, Bhagavan Das, Kamala Manjari and Ishwara Das, Shila Ditya and Adidev Das, Gadag Raj Das, Dhritarashtra and Tulsi Devi Dasi, Bhakta Bob, Mahatma Das and Janva Devi Dasi, Bhakta Leonard, Dhira Dasi, Manu Shrestha Prabhu, Atmaram Das, Madhurilila Ananda Dasi, Padma Lochan Dasi, Gopal Das, Jitari Das, Bhakta Greg, Siddhidi Muni Das, Divyanga Das, Mahamaya Dasi, Keshava Das, Mahatma Devi Dasi, Tamohar Prabhu and Mantrini Devi Dasi, Vrindavan Leela Devi Dasi, Sunil Mishra, Praveen Rathore, Sri Gorangi Dasi and Prabir, Vasu Subramaniam, Charu Chandrika Dasi, Havi Das, Suresh and Uma, Marimuthi, Pankaj Patel, Priyanka Vyas, Chetana Mehta, Praveen Kumar Patel, Poonam Kaul, Ishwar Patel, Anantasesh and Vaishnavi Dasi, Adi Gopi Priya Dasi, Anonymous, Nandini Kishori Dasi, Sharanga Thakur Das, Radha Madhav Das, Subramaniam Pashumarti, Sonia Upadhyay, Ram Charan, Monika Gupta, Kamala Manjari, Shalagram Shila Dasi, Chaitanya Charan and Radhika Sevi Dasi, Nandikishore and Sri Vrindavan Dasi. And we had PayPal, a list of PayPal also, but I don't have that report. Srila Prabhupada, there are many more, at least a few more devotees who have also participated in this marathon. And I really thank you for allowing me to stay in the shelter of your ISKCON movement. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, please go.
Mother Gatmika, you want to speak now and followed by Ambarish? No? Yes? It's okay.
Please forgive me for being out of place, as there are so many more dedicated disciples of Srila Prabhupada and followers of Srila Prabhupada present. However, I'll take your lead. Dear Srila Prabhupada, in my feeble attempt to glorify you today, I will express a realization I've been meditating on by your causeless mercy. When you apparently left us 37 years ago, you didn't leave us helpless and forlorn. You left behind your sacred and sublime books. Through the worship of them, by daily reading and endeavoring to distribute them, we can continue to experience, disciples and grand disciples alike, the tangible shelter of your lotus feet. Cultivating attachment for your books establishes and enriches our attachment to you. Chastity to you will eventually award us our lost relationship with Krishna. In chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 18, Krishna describes himself wonderfully as the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. This description can also apply to you in the form of your books. How are your books the goal? The reading of all your books several times and the distributing of them have shaped my short and long-term goals. Otherwise, you said, we will succumb to our conditioned lethargy. Your books are also the sustainer. How are they sustaining me? You said everything is in your books. Like a hungry person feels no need to search elsewhere for scraps of food after enjoying a full meal, the reading of your books are my main course, and distributing them is like the most relishable dessert, meaning that by simply giving a taste of them to a conditioned soul, we experience the taste for which we are always hankering. Wherever your books are regularly read and distributed, the goddess of fortune resides there. What better sustenance can one hope for? Your books are also the master. my ever-present master in Vani form. The essence of your Vani is to always chant and distribute the holy name of Krishna. Practically every one of your Bhaktivedanta purports vibrates this message. Your books are establishing you as the Jagat Guru, for they are finding their way into places where you in your Vapu form never traveled. May I one day become a genuine servant and disciple of such worthy masters as your exalted books. Your books are also the witness, for they are worshipable conscious deities. Your books witness when we worship them with our intelligence and are cognizant of how we follow them. To the degree that we imbibe your words in our daily life, to that degree our potency to inspire a conditioned soul to take one of your books increases. As you said, purity is the force. Your books are also the abode. The ISKCON house you built to shelter the whole world was built only on the foundation and strength of your books. You said books are the basis. The publishing, reading, and distributing of your books will be our foundation for success. Furthermore, whenever or wherever we travel, if we have one of your books accompanying us and we read it, we can be situated in our eternal abode. Your books are also the refuge. As a spiritual refugee camping out and wandering in this material world, I have only found true refuge in your transcendental books, which illuminate the path back home, back to Godhead. As I have been made fortunate, I can only try to repay my debt by bringing others now to the refuge of your lotus feet in the form of your life-saving books. Your books are also the most dear friend. How are your books my most dear friend? You have said that a friend is one who knows the volume of our suffering and also how wonderful we are. Only by associating with your books have I begun to understand the extent of my suffering and the glory of my true self. Also, as a true friend does not waste time in flattery but speaks the truth, so I'm finding that the magical process of reading and distributing your books puts a mirror in my face, so I'm in no illusion about the anarthas covering my pure self. In conclusion, I offer this prayer to you, Srila Prabhupada, inspired by Queen Kunti Devi. Just as the Ganges flows forever to the sea without hindrance, may my attraction be constantly drawn to you through the reading and distributing of your books without being diverted to anyone else. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for all your matchless gifts, still aspiring to one day become your genuine disciple.
Thank you. Ambarish Prabhu is here.
He's here.
Yes. And then followed by Arundhati. Yes? Okay.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shumati Bhakti Vananta Sumani Tiamani Namaste Sarasati Evagrovani Bicharani Nivisesa Sunyavati Pastitadi Siddharani. I'm always a little intimidated to speak here because there are so many Prabhupada disciples and people who have done so much service, and I just met with Govinda Dasi, who's arrived, and she's one of Srila Prabhupada's most dear servants, so we're very happy to have her here. And my friend Shanaka Rishi has come from England, so he must be going through, heat paralysis, being... you can tell that Lord Chaitanya is more merciful just by looking at the weather here in Alachua. This February is actually quite pleasant, but August is a bit of an austerity. But anyway, my wife and I were cooking a small feast at home, so we were listening on the internet to the sharings, and one thing crossed my mind is that not only are we getting older, but we're actually getting more mature, in our Krishna consciousness. The sharings were really, really nice this morning, very deep, heartfelt, and so I'm very happy to be in this community and watch the maturation of very long-time Prabhupada disciples, including myself. So I'm happy to be here despite some inconveniences or whatever from living in this area, but it's wonderful. There's so many disciples and so many grand disciples. So whenever I'm asked to speak, I have to say something about the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium because that's my complete focus these days. So, like Dibyanga was sharing, how Srila Prabhupada could take people, and I heard Yadavar say his Prabhupada with his disciples, and that's basically very true, because basically when Srila Prabhupada came to the U.S., we were all monkeys. As a matter of fact, I think some of his leaders were found, I won't name any names, but one of them was found naked in a tree. And he became one of the big leaders of ISKCON, the sannyasi, and Srila Prabhupada was able to gather all these monkeys together like Lord Ram's army and really make a formidable force with them. So we're all very grateful, to be engaged by Prabhupada. And people tell me, oh, you're so fortunate to have that service. And I said, yeah, finally somebody found a job for me, because I never fit in anywhere. I wasn't going to go down to Ford Motor Company and work. I just, my parents knew that at a very early age. So I was like many of you, I was searching for something and coming up with all the wrong answers for so long, for many years, and not finding any satisfaction. And finally, when I started reading Srila Prabhupada's books, the bell went off, and I went, wow, this is it. This is what I'm looking for. God is a person. We're his eternal servants. Our job is to develop a loving relationship with him. So I was off to the races. I thought, this is perfect. This is going to be my life's work, and I'm going to follow this path. So, and as Dibyanga, he's a fellow Detroiter. There was a lot of Detroiters here. Mukhya also is from Detroit. So, we all have our own paths. Some of them are very straight and narrow and never deviate. Some of them you go off on maneuvers for a while. That was me. I went off on my own after Srila Prabhupada left, and I was kind of disgusted with ISKCON. In Detroit, we had so much insanity going on that I just kind of went off on my own. But, through it all, I was able to maintain my service. We got the Bhaktivedanta Cultural Center open. And Srila Prabhupada came there once, actually, to visit in 1976. And up in his room, I had gone to see him, and he was in his room. He loved the mansion. It was perfect for a temple. There was, in the ballroom, there were three arches, and Srila Prabhupada saw them and said, oh, Krishna has been saving this for us, because we have three sets of deities. They fit so nicely in there. So I was living in Boston at the time. I was, under the illusion that Shruti Kirti and I were going to open up a restaurant in Boston, which the whole thing fell apart. Another one of my maneuvers that failed, I should make it like one of those YouTube videos, total fail. I have many of them. So I was up in Srila Prabhupada's room, 1976, and he was talking about the Mayapur project. And so I was sitting kind of beside him, and he turned to me and he said, so what do you think of this project? And I said, oh, it sounds very nice, Srila Prabhupada. I had no idea what he was talking about. Vedic cosmology, Mayapur, never been there, don't know where it is. But, it's like when he asked me once if I thought Juhu Beach was the best beach in the world, and I had been in Hawaii. I said, well, if you say so. They kind of weasel out of it somehow or another. But anyway, he said, oh, you will like also this project. Good. So you can help finance. And I went, So we all had a big laugh then, and somebody took a picture, and I have that picture on my desk of all of us sitting around Prabhupada. We're having a laugh because I just finished doing the Fisher Mansion, which was quite expensive. But, at that moment, I didn't realize it, but Srila Prabhupada had planted the seed for the Mayapur project. And, of course, it was covered over by, myself and circumstances. But gradually, over the years, I got more and more involved. Back during the centennial, Sridhar Swami and myself were in charge of the fundraising for the temple. And we were planning. We would have meetings. And, there was people that had come up with a different idea than what I thought Srila Prabhupada wanted. But anyway, I wanted to just stay in the fire somehow or another. So I managed to maintain my involvement with the project. And eventually, you know, things changed and people moved on and circumstances changed and we ran into a brick wall with the government. And we had to start all over again. And we went back to basics and found out what Srila Prabhupada wanted for the project. And started, from square one. And just when the government had come down and stopped us with every endeavor, I was still in America and I was going to go to India the next day for the GBC meetings and make a report on what was going on. And I was very frustrated. There was talk of moving the project to Jagannath Puri. So, I was in our house in Gainesville. This was 2006, I think. And there was a thunderstorm, and I just said, just tell me what you want me to do. I had other people telling me what I should be doing for years, and I was, like, really frustrated, you know. So I had a dream, and I actually wrote it down when I was half awake. I found it the other day. And I was sitting at Srila Prabhupada's feet, and I said, so Srila Prabhupada, they're talking about moving the temple to Jagannath Puri. What do you think? Should we move the temple? And he shook his head and said, no. So then, that was basically the whole dream. And then, you know, we offered some prasadam and et cetera like that. But I got my answer, and the next day I was flying to India. And the whole way over I was thinking, well, you know, okay, we're supposed to do it in Mayapur. How are we going to do this? You know, build a temple, a huge temple. We've been stopped by the government. You know, we have enemies everywhere. So the thought came to me, and it's from Super Soul, I'm sure, that we can build on our own land. We own land in Mayapur, 25 acres, where it's surrounded by, you know, the conch building and the samadhi and the long building. And, we can build on that land. It's totally controlled by ISKCON. And I don't want to go on too long. And, we can build there and we can go back to basics and get the design. So we started in 2009. We started putting in the pilings. You know, the GBC has been supportive the whole way. And many of you, if you go to our website, www.tovp.org, you'll see how far things have gone. I mean, it's really amazing. And from 2009... you know, in, I don't know how many years is that, but 5 years, thank you. I don't do math. Anyway, in 5 years, you know, practically the whole superstructure is finished. You know, they're working on the dome now. And one day I'll write a book about what it was like getting to this point. We had so many obstructions from inside and outside ISKCON. We were trying to go through all the back pathways at the Writers Building, that's where the government is in Calcutta, to get all the permissions lined up in a very sneaky way. We have people that were sabotaging us from within ISKCON, you know, with letters sending them to the government. These people are going to build a huge temple, and it's not a cultural center, and, you know, this goes on, you know, and it has been going on. But I think we turned the corner last GBC meeting because they had a big class there with three of the biggest gurus, Radhana Swami, Shivaram Swami, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and a couple others, gave a class outside with the temple in the background and really enthused people to get involved and to go back to their areas, their temples, and get people involved. And I took a very successful tour of South Africa due to the grace of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj last year. And we raised $4 million in 10 days. You know, so, yeah. And that's what can happen, you know, with the support of the whole yatra, with the GBC down to the temple presidents. You know, that can all go on. And it's so wonderful to talk to rank and file devotees who are so enthusiastic. Because just as, you know, people have been sharing this morning, we're all one big family. We all need one big vacation home. And boy, have I got a deal for you. So, you know, Mayapur is, I love Mayapur. Somebody told me, I don't know who it was, I think it might have been you, Prabhu, told me he told me once, whenever I see you, I think of Mayapur, you know. So I thought that was the greatest compliment, you know. So, you know, there's many people who are Vrindavan people. I'm a Mayapur man. I love Mayapur. It's just the most sublime place. You get all the mercy from Panchadat, where there's, and everybody, all the devotees come there and from all countries around the world. So I'm very happy to be involved. I feel very humbled by being involved. Nobody could be less qualified than me to be involved. But somehow or other, I've been tapped to do that, and so I'm very happy, and I ask for your blessings moving forward. Please pray for us. This is your home also. When you come to India, you come to Mayapur, and you'll see the huge new temple. Biggest kirtan hall in the world, an acre and a half. So it's huge. You know, they'll be, you know, it's all acoustically sound. It's not going to be like the Samadhi, if some of you know. So it's going to be beautiful and wonderful, and, you know, so I hope to see all of you there at some point. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.